In fact, one might have added sort of an interesting question here, which I wouldn't have thought about when we did this at the beginning of the year. We did this, right? Kalisha Dark Lamish Beshefa. The Mechaber threw it in at the end of you guys' Simon Kup Tzadi test. We did talk about this last time. Why doesn't anybody say that once you cook in it the first time, it's Hagala? The answer is an easy one. Could be not malam etichos. It also could be. Keneged, no, when the kli is malay and it's only cooking it, it's far more than shishim. That's the whole point. It's kli shadarak l'shtamish m'shefa. The other answer is kli cheres. Kli cheres. What? Okay, or those are the standard three answers. Either kli cheres or malam etichos, or if you assume it has to be kula, which is a major chumrah. So then the Mechaber says, and then the Tor says, Avolim hu kli she mishtam stol de barash ba, she mishtam shem ba bedavar mord kemo ka'ara, v'chayotze ba asa l'shtamish ba she'ein, mevat lan isur l'chatchila, afilu isur muat, afilu isur habalua ad, afilu isur habalua ad kan. Okay. So we point that also, it seems a little odd. I thought we gave an answer, because the reason here is not, the reason why you don't use it is not because the concern is that you're going to ask for something and not realize it. All right. And the Beis Yosef's teretz to this is very simple, that a kli shadarak l'shtamish b'shefa, there's no reason to assume that you're going to use it b'mu'at. But a kli that is shel iser, so it's very easy. There's no kli. I would say it this way. The Beis Yosef quite formulates it this way. There's no such thing as a kli that's darkel l'shtamish dafka be'ena ben yoma. So you use a kli whenever you need to use the kli. It might be ben yoma, it might not be ben yoma. So what goes on in a ben yoma, to a situation where it might be a ben yoma and you're cooking it anyway.
Also, sort of like the only motivator not to use it is the halachic, is the legal status.
Correct, as opposed to the normal way of using the kli.
We need like an external factor that motivates.
Okay. Fine. In the Bedek HaBayis here, he quotes an Archas Chaim with the Machlokas whether Gvinos HaAkum Aser B'tamam or not. When we get to I haven't decided on the teaching schedule next week yet, whether it will be Shir Monday and Sunday or not, none of the above. I'm not sure yet. I'm just going to wait till after Shavuos to, you know, the following week to resume. So I will let you know. But when we do Bishul Akum and Pas Akum and Venus Akum and Chav Akum, in each of the cases, you have to figure out whether or not there's an Isser, whether the Tam is Oser or not. So that's what he quotes here, two deos in the Orchas Chaim, whether or not if the Gvinos, if the Kelim in which they make the Gvina is Mekunachas Yafa, is there a problem or not? Okay, so that was sure we will leave aside for now. Then the Torah continues. Stam Kleyakum he mecheska she'enam b'nei yoman. Ulefikach, im avar v'nishtamish bo kodem hechsher hatavshil, hechsher hatavshil motar. Okay, so basically that is the position of the Torah. It's the position we paskin like. It seems to be that all the Rishonim Kamat agree to this. The starting point in the discussion is a brisa that we read on the bottom of Ayin Hamad Beis, that Hukulan Shabisho Bahan Achlo Hippil Achlo Higil Achlo Libain. So one brisa says Mutta, one says Aser, and the Gemara suggests the Nafkamina between those two. The Nukudas HaMachlokas is whether Nosin Talmud Gam is Mutta or Aser. So, the question is, why do you assume that it's no Sin Tam Lufgam? The simplest answer is that Stam Kalim are not B'nai Yoman. It might also be, actually, that if you're buying the Kalim from Goyim, just in terms of the process of purchase and when it's put up, they might also more likely that there was a time gap, but that's what seems to be the basis. So anyway, The one exception to that rule is that they asked the kasha about the Gemara in the first parak in Chulin, that a shochet pesakin shalakum, that either kolei from adiach, so you see a choshesh for ben yomo, there are those who give the teretz, that the davar shetashmish or tadir, like a sakin, so you are a choshesh for ben yomo. Okay. Fine. In Bizman Hazeh, I think it's a question of common sense. Certain kinds of kelim are used on a regular basis, and other kelim are not. Okay. Anyway, then the Beis Yosef, the Torah quotes the following very important din. Kasav Ashba, Aval Bikein Azur Lo Malakum Bashali Yirakos Bikdei Raseich, V'chein Lo Yomer Lo Asli Nemerkachas Opas, She'akala Omer Bashali Hareu Ki'ilu Bishel Biyado. So any time, if you ask a guy to cook the food for you, even though stam kelim ein b'nayoman, let's say you give him the kosher food, so that's basically cooking in the pot lachatchila. Even though you're not the one doing it, you are basically asking him to do it. And the same gzera is equally shayach, that if we're choshesh that you're going to cook in a pot that's a b'nayoman, we can be choshesh the same way. So therefore the gzera is still applicable. It's as if you did it b'yodayim. The Rashba was bothered by the fact that people in his day and age were not makpid on these issues, which is why he comes up with the next comment, which is ve'efsha she'edeh apaltar al yedeh harakachim mutar shekala amanam yachdim kelim nekiyim lachton kedei shelo yifgamu umanusan, which is a great double, which was a great pun. It's a double entendre. Uval nefesh yachu she'edvarim ein levim l'intarim nekiyas adkan. The Rashba wasn't so happy with it. But Alpi Metzias, I think this is true Bisman Hazeh for the most part. I don't know for sure, although probably it's also fine there in your little neighborhood, you know, grocery store, bodega or something like that. But if you go to a larger operation, they're not using the same knives, you know, for chopping up the fruit or in Costco or whatever else with the salmon as they are using for cutting up the pork and so on. You can assume that A, they probably have separate knives, and B, they certainly clean them very well in between, so you don't have to worry about shamnunis or anything else like that. I think that is pretty much a chazaka b'zman hazeh because of certain understandings of sanitary issues and cross-contamination and so on. Again, in your little mom-and-pop shop, probably, though you never really know as much there. But the Rashba just suggests this maybe as a limud zchus, that maybe the assumption is by the umanim that they have separate kelim. Okay. There's a very long Beis Yosef here, as you might have noticed on Vav. Two very large paragraphs are dedicated to analyzing what exactly is the Rambam Shita in terms of Stam Kelim Shel Akum B'nei Yoman or Einam B'nei Yoman or not. Can you apply such a principle? And that seems to be a machlokas with the Rambam held that way, but either way we assume that Stam Kelim Shel Nachrim are not considered B'nei Yoman. Okay. Mistama, that applies to us as well. I mean, Stam Kalim Shel Yisrael are also Einam B'nei Yoman. It's just that normally the reason why you don't have state, the din isn't stated originally that way, is that I haven't gotten to the Shulchan Aruch and Kachafes. Almost there. So the reason is that normally when it comes to Yisrael, it's your Kalim, so you know if they're B'nei Yoman or not. But if you're dealing with, it's not that Goyim have a minog only to use Kalim Einam B'nei Yoman, but rather. It's an assumption that most people's kelim, you know, are not b'nei yoman unless it's something they are in constant use. You know, if people always, if their regular meal is a stew and it's the same pot used over and over, you can probably assume it's always a b'nei yoman. Okay. V'ta'am demachzikin klaya akam she'ena b'nei yoman. Peirush adoni avi harashal mishum dehavis sveik sveika. Sefek em nishtam shubo hayom, vafidu nishtam shubo hayom, shem nishtam shubo davar apogem, ve'en. Achem en desfek svekahu, talinan lahakel. Lefizehu adin nami kelim shalanu shu svek sveka, talinan lahakel. So it's here, okay, even though I didn't read the Shulchan Aruch. But I don't understand what this means. Right? Is there any...
I don't
know
if English is in my
place. Sefek tzbenyam or sefek inu
v'gema. Where's the darkei motion? The aruch or the katzer? Because I didn't see the aruch. One second. Now he quotes about a different. Now he quotes through my observation, but a step further, you could ask another Jew, and he is Nemanus, and therefore they were Kones to not say Stam Kelim Ben Yoma. But he agrees with the.
I think everybody agrees
with the Torah.
I haven't seen anybody disagree. I don't remember seeing.
Now he quotes someone who says that the. That Goshari Dura quoted someone the same. He's Israeli Shotakana, and if he doesn't know, it's were konsonosa. But anyway, so I don't quite understand, and I don't see, did I miss, is there any Beis Yosef on this? I didn't see anything. There was something later a little bit, but I don't understand, why is Yechoshesh that he was used something that was Pogein Be'en?
Possible, such a thing.
What's that?
It's possible.
Who cooks food in the pot that's Pogein Be'en? Unless what he means is the following, unless he means that this is like basar and dvash, right? In other words, he means not that the food is pogum, but it would be pogame in what you might be cooking in now, and even if it weren't, maybe it's not a benyomer.
Is pogame the end?
Pogame even when it's the end. In other words, it's not just the tam of basar in the pot that would be pogame dvash, or whatever the dvash is, it would be even basar itself would be pogame in dvash,
you
even at the end.
Of like the rush that we saw a while ago about his idea of sfeik by.
No, it's not at all like that. Here, but I don't know what, I just don't know what pogame means here. What's he talking about?
Well, if he just means that it's something you could be tola on.
No. Here, it means that the food itself, regardless of blios, in other words, it is a sveik sveika, both result in the same thing. It's a davar pogame, but it's two totally different pogmen. One is pogame because it's not a benyomon, it applies to all foods.
Right.
And the other one is something that is pogame even be'en, even by itself. If you were to put a little bit of the meat into the honey, it would be pogame.
I understand that, but it's a weird sort of sveik sveika. So,
and what you really mean to say is, the question is, it a sveik sveika on mishapech? In other words, when you say safek it's a benyomo, safek it's not a benyomo, and even if it's a benyomo, maybe it was a davar pogain.
Right.
Or, so I can reverse it, but I could say in a safek if it's a davar pogain, and if it's not, maybe it is a davar pogain, maybe you used it for a davar shein pogain, and even if you used a davar shein pogain, maybe 24 hours have passed. Now, I'm playing a game of language there, which I'm sort of obscuring. What does it mean to have been used for 24 hours? It's pogame. Right. What does it mean to be pogame? It's pogame. Right? Either way. But I think that here are two so fundamentally different issues, different ways of going about it, that I don't think this is like the sveik sveik of Chadash.
Well, both cases are sort of not what you wouldn't consider that. He's sort of more.
No, the Kaddish case, you can't.
Correct. There you can't. But the problem is, I use very clever language here. And if I, in other words, what if I said the following, Josh? Suffolk, whether or not, well, it's from this year's crop, or last year's crop, or this year's crop, and even from this year's crop, maybe it was planted before Pesach.
That's
right, you can't reverse it. Right, you can't. Here, the question is: is this reversible? Right. Now, see, that's a timeline.
No, my point.
This is not a timeline. This is two different ways of being pogan.
My point was just that he's more sort of makil on what you consider sveik sveika. Most people.
Why?
Because this is not something that's what that maybe it's something that's pogan the food. I mean, when how often do we think that that's.
So it's a smaller suffix, but there's in other words, that's not at all like the sveik sveik of the rush and by Chadash is not at all like this.
No, it's categorical.
Totally different. But here, but in general, a sveik sveik, you don't necessarily need to have both sides be such overwhelming probabilities. That's a whole question.
How often does this happen?
I don't know. I don't. If you remember, we didn't do the klal sveik sveika, and it's not just that you didn't do the klal sveik sveika.
No, but how often does it happen that you have food that's pogame?
It depends. Some foods. I mean, what you could ask is that, you know, unless every food, in other words, I would have thought that some foods, by their nature, tend to be nifkam by other foods, and some foods tend not to be. And you should be able to know that based upon what you're cooking. Because depending on what you're cooking, it might be more or less likely that they would have that anything they would have used would have been pogame. I don't know. Okay. So anyway, but the Rush claims it's based upon sveik seika. That's why we can assume stam kelim shel nachayin ben yomin. Avi.
Are you suggesting that the reversibility of
space vega makes it
sufficient? Makes it it's necessary.
The irreversibility makes it. Yes, that's a famous. I don't think that Tosus says it that in those terms, but there are those who wanted to explain. There's a famous kasha of Tosus in Ksubas Daf Tesam and Aleph. They want to know. The Gemara says that there are two cases where a Kohen marries a woman, finds she, the two cases a man marries a woman, finds out she's not a Psula, And he doesn't know when it happened and how it happened. And only in two cases is there really a chashash iser. One is he's a kohen. Then there's only one. Normally there's a safek, the sveik sveika. Safek, whether it was before she got married to him with Arison, and safek afterwards. And even if it was afterwards, maybe she was raped. But if it's a kohen, one of the sveikos disappears because you know that it's irrelevant whether she was raped or not. All that matters was before or after they got married. And if it's a katana, she kibla avia, you know that it wasn't, that it had to have happened after they had kiddushin, because the besulim would have gone back, but you don't know whether it's ba'onis or a baratzon. So Tosfos asks Akasha, why isn't it still a sveik sveika? Maybe if she, what happened when she was a katana, and even if she was, because a katana by definition pitiktana onasu, and even if she was a gedola, maybe it was ba'onis. So I don't remember how Tosis gives the answer there, but I think it's often, they point to that as the example. This is the reason why it's not a sveik sveika is not a sveik sveika mesapech. Because you can go in one direction, but you can't go in the other. You can't say safek bonus, safek baratzon. And even if it was baratzon, maybe she was pchusim, maybe she was a katana. Well, if she was a katana, by definition, it's an onus. So you can't go in that direction.
You have to go.
Why is that? I mean, that's just because you don't have a sveik sveika, you say.
Because it's not misapech. If I said it the other way, it fits.
If you said it which way?
If I say safek whether the rape happened before she turned into a gedola, safek afterwards, and even if it was after she turned into a gedola, maybe she was nensa.
Maybe she was baratzo.
Maybe it's bonus, and she's muteris.
Right.
And that's right. So the point is, but they often say, I think that that's the example of a sveik sveik if it's not misapech, and that's why it's not a good sveik sveik. I forget exactly how Tosfos answers it, but anyway, that's. Okay, so anyway, Kasav Arashba, Kalisha Nesar Biblias Issa, Benisari Bacherim, Veinoniko Bratabarov, Alpha Pish Efshir, Lagilu, Lachzir, Lachshero, Ayidekach, Ein Damnoso, Kadavashish, Lamatir, and Lesser Kulam, Achi Agilim, Elarim, Kisu Yavish, Nisari, Biavish, Batabarov, Shakoshen, Matir, and Shalobai, May, Lehem, Bitsarach, Lafazim, Osev, Lahotzi, Otsos, Bimatiran, Bimatirin, Einabachal, Davashish, Lamatir, Einabachal, Yeshish, Lamatir. So we discussed this already early this year when we did the siman on davashesh lamatirin. Okay, so you remember this was a machlokas, the ra'ah and the rabah. And if you remember, I think, what was our hachra lamaisa? I don't want to say this is masa mechoyom, but it can happen when you have a dish that you needed to kasher, and now it got mixed in with the other dishes, and you don't know which one it is. What was, no, wasn't straight. Albert what? That's the Rashba, but we don't pass in straight out like Rashba. What are the
Shach had the Masas Binyam.
And what was the Maskana?
I forget.
I think, believe we say that you wait till it's in Eino Ben Yomo. And then, since after that, you can rely upon the Bittul Barov. Okay. A couple of last notes here. There are those who say, but I don't think we accept that the Klei Cheres is not Shayach to Nosei Talmud Gam. Now, the truth be told, well, we've already discussed this issue. There are situations where Pleitas Kelim, even after 24 hours, is clearly not Nosei Talmud Gam. Sherry casks should be proof of that. I'm still not really sure. I've never read the Tshuvas to know why Ramosha said it was mother, but anyway, certainly it's not pogam the stuff that you put in it when it gets, if it gets anything out. It's there for a reason. Okay. What else was there here? So here the Beis Yosef quotes. I thought it was the Rush, but it looks like it's the Mordechai. The Beis Yosef quotes that if you bring your kelim to a non-Jewish uman, and it's only been there for, it's been there less than 24 hours, when you take it back, you can't use it. Why not? Because in the argument of the Rush, the reason why stam kelim she'enam b'nei yoman is that if you used it, it's been 24 hours since you last used it. In this case, if you're choshesh, he's used it within 24 hours, because you didn't leave the kelim by there with him long enough that, assuming he would have gone ahead and used it, he wasn't there, 24 hours wouldn't have passed. So you only have one suffix whether you use the davar pogam or not. There's an assumption in this whole discussion that the goy actually used the kelim. Today, I don't want to say it's not true at all today. Like, I've been told, I've never experienced this, but you know, probably I don't drive a fancy enough car. There must be some like movie about this, but I don't remember what it is. Well, there's a famous movie in which they have to try to fix this, see what your bakias is. But you know, that you take your car into the shop and you want to hope that the mechanics don't drive it around, you know, to have some fun with it. Again, my car, I don't think anybody's very good. Well, it was close. They had to reverse the odometer at the end, if you remember that scene. But my assumption is I've never tested if you drive backwards what happens to the odometer. I doubt it reverses. The question is, does it go forward?
It doesn't
move in either direction. Okay. What's that? In the movie, I know it doesn't. Well, in the movie, it doesn't matter because the car winds up in the water or something like that. That was very impressive Bikias there.
Do so well in
Yoredea,
but at least
it's okay. I don't want to hear. Okay. So anyway, so you do, and you do wonder in situations if it's something that somebody might desire to use, like, you know, you bring your Ferrari to the shop, you know, then maybe, you know, you want to maybe check the odometer that wasn't, you know, driven more than a couple of tenths of a mile or, you know, a very short distance to make sure that it, you know, it
was... Hezkas being used?
I don't want... The question is, can you... I would say there are many kinds of things today that you bring in. You bring your, you know, something about your, you know, you bring your urn in to be fixed to a coffee shop because the pump isn't working, which is the common machal on these new fancy things. Even if you were bringing it to a non-firm place, it'd be, forget that, you probably nobody typically puts non-kosher things anyway in an urn. You wouldn't assume that they use the urn in the meantime. Aside from the fact that they're in, you know, a warehouse with 60,000 other urns.
But even if you have, let's say, 50% of the time they do, you still have Sfik Sfika.
Yes, but if you have more than 50%, right, but and the way to be shown and right, it's like Mistama they used it. Right? Today, I think in most contexts, you don't assume that Mistama they used it. You know, the only example I could think of was not the movie Nimrod, but just the idea of, you know, you might bring in a fancy car and they decide that, you know, the mechanic, some of the boys in the shop want to see what a fancy ride is like, so they drive it around the block or a little bit a few times. I could see such a thing happening. I couldn't. What?
Let's eat off the nice china.
Yeah, that I just don't see that happening, you know. Besides, it's not the eating that's the experience, it's showing it off to everybody else. So anyway, okay. So, but in his context, the assumption is that one suffix has disappeared. Fine. And then Jimur Machmeh, ironically on that, then you are on the Klayakum, because the Klayakum, Minastam, you assume that they weren't used to 24 hours. It's a very odd... I still don't understand, yes, Emmanuel. You have to say that it's almost bevade that the Akum used it. Right? Because I would have assumed it's only besafek that the Akum used it. And does somebody say that in fact? What? Yeah. But then he quotes that if it was there an entire day, then you have a sfeik again. A different space taker. Maybe he correct. Well, maybe he didn't use it. And even if he used it, another way I'd say it's like this: if it's been more than 24 hours since you delivered it to him, so maybe he didn't use it. And if he used it, maybe it's not a ben yomo anymore. I think that's what he says.
So you could sort of still wait.
No. Yeah.
He says that you could.
I think. Well, yeah. If you want to use it within, however, you can't. Yeah, it's very... I would have thought that it's still b'chal safek, but whether he used it or not. But okay. All right. And then the Rush talks about the klecheres, the money, the kunya, that if you left in the house of a non-Jew, if you can tell from what the food that's still in there, that it was the food you left in there, it means he didn't use it from the residue, so then it's fine. And if not, it's asur. And if... they normally wash the kelim de bechamin. I'm sorry, let me take that back. He doesn't say what he says. And if, however, If there's still machal in there, then you assume it's fine. If there's none left and it's clean, you have to be choshesh. If they normally wash stuff in hot water, they have to be choshesh that he washed it with treif kelim. And if you remember the Ramah and even the Mechaber, if there's the end from Simin Sadi Hey, so you know then there's a problem with that. It's a very funny formulation that if there's food left in it, it's motavim laf osir im regilim adiach akein lebacham lechayshin shem hudachim kleis shalach. Okay. The Orach Haschayim quotes the Ra'ah as saying that if you left dishes in the house of a goy, and you don't know that he used them, so you leave it for 24 hours, you don't use them. Okay.
That's sort of like what the Shach says about your own killer, no?
Yeah, in a different way, yes. Okay. Fine, let's take a look at the Shulchan Aruch. Depending on how quickly we move, we may end up touching some of Tafton Aleph. I think that the tour here really gave you most of the information. But it's the Shulchan Aruch and a little bit the Beis Yosef that's in Tafton Aleph. That's not all of it. All of it's not here. I don't think there's so much that's relevant to broader Tfilas Kelim. There are a few things. You know, one of the things that comes up at the end of Tafton Beis is, can you do Hechsher and anything other than water? And the answer is, we say L'chachilah not, but B'di'evet, yes. There's the issue of clay etzem, which I don't think are discussed here. And the assumption is that clay etzem, there are two deos. I think one deos says that clay etzem aren't bole at all, and the other deos says, no, clay etzem are bole, but you can kasher them. I don't think anybody says you can't kasher them. I think the Mordechai said that he really thought that they don't require hagala, but, you know, because the psukim that put Chomaseizim and so on, Cholkliates, that one might have thought perhaps you really do. So even though he really, I forget what his raya was that he thought you didn't, but he was not sure. Okay, also as an aside, going back to Tfilas Kelim for one correction, Rav Moshe assumes that you do Tfilas Kelim on aluminum as well. Thank you, Negar. And the if you would like, I can point you to the Tshuva, or just search in the Bar Ilan for Aleph, Lamed, Vav, Mem, and Tzitz Eliezer. Well, he doesn't talk about aluminum, not that I saw.
It does
with plastic, and he assumes plastic does not require tefillah. I'm with the thought that it does.
Because it was made with the intent of you using it.
No, not because that. No, plastic, that's only
the
key.
No,
we're not talking about foil. We're mostly just talking about aluminum pans. There are aluminum pans.
Yeah, those are disposable.
No. Aluminum pots, excuse me. I should have used the term. You can't have an aluminum pan like an aluminum pot. I don't mean a foil pan. Oh. I mean an aluminum pan. I know that foil is made from aluminum, but...
Right.
What's that?
I think that they're quite dangerous to you.
Why?
They like to leak a lot of...
What, foil pans or aluminum pots?
Aluminum pots. Most health and safety guys say don't use them.
Really? Aluminum is dangerous for people?
It may or may not be the week.
Oh, that's good line, Skitsky. Okay. Fine. Anyway, the Shulchan Aruch says, in 121, Halokeach kelim yishonim in ha'ovet kochavim, kider shenishtamish behem ha'ovet kochavim, kachu ha'sheiran. Lefikach, halokeach klei tashbish yishonim shenishtamish behem bitzonik kegon kosos utzlochas v'chayotze behem, madichan, v'tzarach l'shafshafan heite b'mayim b'shas adocha kidei lahasi ulamarika isu shagabein, v'achakach shodfan b'mayim, and then umat bilan v'hein mutarin. Right, nothing surprising there. Okay, obviously of the kelim yamachshir, only the metal kelim require hadacha. Lokach mehem kelim shenishtamish behem b'chamim, Yesh b'kol m'shenagu heter lasum yayin b'chelem shenisreim u'dubakim b'chelem mishum sh'teva ha'yayin levroch min ha'chelem v'chelem nikra shromi ba'atmo min nogea kal b'yayin. Okay, I have no bekias to know this, but today I don't think we would have such kelem anyway. I think the idea, if we were using fat in that context, it would probably have been processed so much as to not be rari l'achila anymore. But
wait, you said only metal kelim?
Required tefila. Of those things that are kasherable.
Oh, tefila. I thought you said those are the only ones you're media.
No. All kelim would require hadacha.
Right,
okay. Um, likach behem kelim shemishtamesh lokach behem kelim shemishtamesh bohem bechamin bein shem shematachas o shalitz o even. Here he's paskin like the daya that says the three deos in even. Some say it's like cheres. Some say it doesn't require. It's like glass, or it's like something that's not bolea at shia. And some say it requires hagal like every like most other materials. That's the way the mechaber paskins, like the Rambam and the Rif. Bein shem shematachas. Oshel eitz o even magilan me'achar kach matbilan imhem shomateches. Obviously, even and eitz do not require tefila because they're not amurim b'parsha. V'him bilan v'achar kach agilan mutarim yishom shitzarach lahasir. Like bilan, so this was the machlokas of Rishonim, the Rashba, and the Rashbam against many other Rishonim, whether or not it's like tovo v'sheretz biyado. The Shach writes here that he thinks that you should do tefillah again without a bracha. If, provided that, I think provided that, the way he writes in Sifkat and Dalid, is that if you bought them to use them for cold, and then you change your mind later and you did tefillah, and then you change your mind later and you do and you want to do use them for hot, you need to do hagala, but you don't need to do tefillah again. But if you bought them in the first place, if you bought them in the first place with the intention to use Litzorach Hag'Allah, Litzorach Hamin, and he, Shach, thinks you're not even allowed to use them for Tzonin right now, in other words, let me say it better. If you were tovel the kalim with the assumption that you were going to then do hagala, the tefillah is no good and you can't even eat tzoni with it, according to the Yeshom.
Until you do hagala
and then tefillah again, right? So the Shach writes, and maybe he means it on both, or it may be that he doesn't disagree with the Levush on this point. But certainly in a case where you bought it for the purposes of Chamin, and then you did tefillah and you haven't done Haggalah yet, that you need to do tefillah again after the Haggalah. So he suggests that you should do tefillah without a bracha. The Dago Merivava writes here that if the Kalim are not B'nai Yoman when you do the tefillah, so then he thinks L'chulei Alma Tzmotor. It sounds like he holds his Motor L'chatchil. And if the Kalim are not B'nai Yoman, you can do the tefillah before you do the Haggalah. Why? Because since there's no Isser in the Kli anymore, it's just that Gzeri, you're not allowed to use the Kli Bechamin, because Gzeri, you know, Shemi Yavasho, but when it's a Ben Yomo, so then the Dogma Rav says, in this case, you don't have to do Tefillah again. So it's probably, if you buy Kalim from a guy, Mistama, they are in a Ben Yomo, which means if you do the Tefillah in most cases, then you're not required to do Tefillah again after the Haggalah. Okay, and the Rama writes, Din Kli Etzem, Ayin Behilchas Pesach, Simin Tafnun Aleph. Ein lahagil shum kli kol zman shehu ben yomo, and we noted that was something of a pella, because al pidin you can kasher anything which is heter when it's a ben yomo, which is why the mechaber paskins that you can kasher kelim on Pesach before shachamishes, and it's why we don't know what to do with the Torah. Why you can actually kasher basar or chalav within 24 hours of its use, on the assumption that it's not bar nata teira. What?
Well, you can or cannot.
Can you should. You should be able to. We didn't understand why the Torah said that you can't kasher a bisari or a halavi pot within 24 hours. Now, the Ramah does assume there's a minhag. He writes in Or HaChaim, the minhag is not to be tovel, not to kasher kelim which are duhagala, I should say, on kelim which are if they are bnei yomon, even though it's heter bala, and one might even say even if you have shishim in the water. Okay. But if you did it, the hashem is chalai. Say in the case of a dishwasher, if you ran a dishwasher, the dishwasher kashers everything in the process, as we've already discussed. And even though the dishwasher might have milchuked up the dishwasher when you ran a cycle in the first part of the cycle, it then immediately does Haggalah. I don't think we would say, oh, that Haggalah is no good, because we won't say Haggalah is no good because it was done within 24 hours of when milk or meat might have last been used. And there was, no, if you did it, the Haggalah is chal. But the minhag is to avoid doing Haggalah on things which are b'nei yoma, even if they're basar or chalav, lest you come to do it with iser on something that's a ben yoma. Any questions on that?
Well, I guess, like, if you had a kli that was chalavi, and it didn't have shishim in the water inside it, the amount of chalav that was boiled. When you, if you just boiled that kli on its own, you wouldn't, it wouldn't work. Like it would, the water inside it would be chalav to the extent that it's chalav, and then.
No. You wouldn't, because that chalav would be not barnat. And even if some of it were to go back, if you assume it gets everything out, and now it's already not barnat, and so it doesn't count as chalav. And now even if it went back into the pot according to the Ramah, that would be not barnat barnat. The whole point, when they say that you can kasher, just look at the Shulchan Aruch and Aruch Haim, you can kasher kelim before Shach HaMishas, even though the Bnei Yoman, even though you have shishim in the mind. If you have shishim in the mind, you don't need to worry about any of the other stuff. Stam bitul b'shishim. So no, the answer is, even though, I mean, one of the things that if you look in, I don't remember if it's here or not, or in Aruch Haim, I can't remember what's where now, having been through the two in the Beis Yosef over Friday or Shabbos and Tafter and Aleph. And Tafter and Beis, so they talk about what if the water gets so dirty you see the bleos there. So I want you to rest assured of the following. If you take perfectly pristine clean water and our perfectly pristine pots, you can cook them till, you know, Bias HaMashiach, and that water is not going to change colors because of any platos that come out of the pot. The pot might decompose by that cooking it that long, probably not, but you will not get bleos coloring the water unless the assumption they were dealing with wasn't just bleos inside the pot, but the film on the outside of the pot. Now, if the concern is the film on the outside of the stuff that you're kashering, stick enough of those into the water, and the water will become grimy and disgusting. And the assumption is you're not supposed to use that water to kasher anymore at that point. The truth be told, if that were the case, you might have trafed up the pot anyway. But separate discussion, maybe if we get the Aruch Haim this week, I don't know. Okay. Sif Gimel. Dinei Hagala V'libun Halohim K'suvim B'Hilchos Pesach. Boo. Okay. So I think the primary dinim he's talking about here are how you actually kasher the kelim. So here, while we didn't learn the Torah Beis Yosef in Aruch Haim, we do know the basic procedures of kashering. We spend the Torah because the Torah and the Beis Yosef talk all about it here. What do you do with a kli that's too big? You know, each kli requires, you know, kabbalah kach polto. So if you used it, the kli sheni, it needs kli sheni to be, assuming kli sheni is balea. If you used it in irimi kli rishon, you used to use irimi kli rishon. If you used it in a kli rishon, then it needs a regular kli rishon. If it's ala esh, maybe even need to do it ala esh. And yinim ala retichos, libun. And if you can't fit the entire kli in the pot, well, if it's a big pot and nothing else will fit, it won't fit into anything else, then you make the little rim around it. Clay on Pesach and can be dough all year round. And if it's a areva, which won't fit in wholly into the pot, but obviously you can't boil water, it doesn't hold water. So there what you do is you immerse one side, then you immerse the other side, and if you can't immerse the whole thing, then you do libun on the middle, on the midsection of the areva.
What's the chashash when it comes to
kashering
kelim for Pesach? That the
item
itself might contain chametz or
bulua
chametz? What's the concern?
Yeah.
A
bulua? It's bulua. We're assuming for the moment that stuffing that's on the kli itself has already been cleaned off and that anything that's been on the kli is pogame. That we're assuming. Does that surprise you or?
I'm saying the concern is it might have bulua chametz, you might get hana from the chametz on Pesach.
More tam? More tam than hana, I think. Okay, frying pans. From the fire into the frying pan. Yeah. Machavas shemetag, that's backwards. Machavas shemetagnim bo afal pi, shemetin chametz v'pesach, dailo b'hagala l'inin shar yisirim shri chalibun. So we saw this already in the Beis Yosef, and the question is, why? So the Taz writes here, and the Shach raises this possibility, is because Hatera Bala. The Taz is in Sifkat and Gimel, and the Shach is in Sifkat and Ches. The question is, that doesn't make any sense. I mean, it makes perfect sense, but it doesn't make any sense that that should be the Mechaber's reasoning.
Because the Mechaber rejected that.
Because the Mechaber rejects that in Aruch Haim. Because the rule is, if you believe that Chomet, In principle, it's true. If you had a fleshik frying pan or a milchik frying pan and you wanted to make it parv, it would require only hagala. It would require only hagala because it's tera bala. But if you're talking about it, Pesach, the Mechaber, if in fact chametz were isura bala, a hetera bala, according to the Mechaber, you would never do liban by anything for Pesach, which you could actually clean a new hagala on. So the fact that the Mechaber paskins that a number of this, that he has the dinim of liban in Hilchos Pesach, tells you that he paskins that chametz kodem a Pesach is isura bala. So then, hadron kushla l'duchta, what's going on with the Mahamas? So the Shach says, the Shach says that the reason why, he quotes a tshuva, I remember this tshuva from a long time ago, I think I learned this tshuva one of the summers in the Boston Kollel, I don't remember why. The tshuva, the Rama Mipanu, Rama Nachum Azariah Mipanu. So he quotes the tshuva of the Rama Mipanu, who says that the reason why Kli Shav Goyim requires Liban Benachay Yisrael is because Rov Tashmish and Sha'ol Dekachavim is Belimayim. So that water, but it uses other stuff like oil. Masha'en Kain B'mahavash Al Chavetz. I assume his assumption is that the oil that's used is a very small amount. And therefore it's really Davar Sheva Ba'ish. In which case, if you're dealing with something that's Bisari or Chalavi, it may very well be that it requires Liban. It doesn't require a gala. It's just the nature, for some reason, I don't know why that's true, of chametz, that it's, I mean, do we usually, what kind of chametz would usually go in a frying pan?
Pancakes.
Flour.
Flour. No, that would use cornflake crumbs.
Oh.
No.
Classic.
Okay. That's sufficient. So, it means that it would require, in theory, according to the sheet, of Liban. Except so, even that.
Why is the Liban Hagalah question based on a terabala?
It's the Gemara. The Gemara says that whenever you have something that's a terabala, you never require Liban. That was the question: is why is it Ashpud va'askala by Kachim and Zvachim that you say Hagalah is sufficient, and by Abu Dazara, by Kalim Shel, you know, Gila Tvayakum, you say that it requires the Liban. So the teretz that somebody gave at the beginning of the Sugya, which Rav Ashi does Tchias HaMesim at the end of the Sugya, is that Heterabala never requires a Liban, it only requires Hagala. Yeah. So for us, it would appear that a Malchah Shachamitz would also require, you know, the pancakes, right? The pancakes have a tiny bit of oil in there, but you don't really. Although it's interesting because it goes in, it's a liquid, it's a batter. When it comes out, it's a solid. So it could be, you would say that that's still called liquid. In other words, it's soft enough, and it's enough liquid in it. Now, one of the discussions, one of the concerns about Ramachavas when there is liquid in there is that maybe it dries up and it burns. So some wanted to say, yeah, but the food still has certain liquid in it. The problem with that is that most, what?
Every food has
enough liquid in it. Yeah, that's the difficult. I don't know. So I would say that for Bisari and Chalavi, a kli does not require. That's clear.
Liban and Hagala are just qualitatively different. Meaning, it's not that. Is Liban more?
So the assumption is as follows. There's a ra'ah that's quoted in the very long Shach in Sif Katan Yud Zayin, which I'm sure you all have all done with great with Diktok Rav and Iyun Harbe. But the Ra'ah points out that the mechanism Hagala and Liban are two totally different things. Hagala is Kibolo Kach Polto, whereas Liban destroys it where it is, which is why, ironically, there would be those who hold that it's sufficient to do Hagala on the part of the Kli that you cooked in, because to the extent that you assume that the Blias might have traveled through the Kli, the Hagala will pull them out that way also, Kibolo Kach Polto. But by Liban, that's not true, because Liban is so from Mkomo, if the Blias, in fact, traveled in the Kli, the only way to get them, to destroy them, is to burn. It's the Dumilami in the entire area of the clay.
Practically, Liban doesn't require blowtorch.
It depends. Well, I mean, Liban for a frying pan would probably be sticky in the self-cleaning oven. Probably a blowtorch wouldn't be a good idea. Although I suspect that for the kind of material that is, blowtorch would damage. A blowtorch is much hotter than a self-cleaning oven. Never mind. I don't know. Would Teflon survive a self-cleaning oven?
No.
No. Okay. So for those purposes. Yes, Alon.
There are two types of libun, correct?
Libun Kal, Libun Chomer. I think the Mordechai is the one who...
Libun
Chaber. Libun Kal is just a... I think you'll find it in the Darkei Moshe in your Archaim. This is where he quotes the Mordechai. I think it's the Mordechai. And Libun Kal is just a slightly enhanced form of Haggadah in the context that it's used. One of the interesting questions I have, I don't know, Mikubalani me rabosai, and I think it was from the Rav, that like if you have an oven that's used at a certain temperature, the highest temperature, you can kasher that also, even if it's not a self-cleaning oven. And I don't know what the svara behind that is, because when you read that ra'ah, it's clear that you don't say kabol kachpolto by libun. Now, you could say that by libun, now maybe what you want to say, maybe what they would say is that, no, in other words, so why should Libun Kal ever work? And it normally doesn't work when you need Libun Chamor. Just because your oven, whatever is Bolea, was Bolea, Ayudei, you know, at a certain temperature, maybe you need Libun Chamor to get rid of that. So it could be, I guess you could be Mechalik and Sid, Legabi, the temperature, you do say that if you apply the same heat to a certain area, even by Libun that works. But the difference is, it's not working by expelling what was absorbed. And therefore, you have to do libun on the entire thing, not only on part of the thing. Whereas Haggadah, because it simply extracts that which is absorbed in the way it was absorbed, so it's enough, even if you only magal the part of the kli that was bolei iser, even if it was mefapeh, it will pull it out that way. So then you could argue, I guess, according to that, that still, for the purposes of temperature, it's sufficient to have whatever temperature your thing was at. I don't know. Others, I think, disagree with that. I want to say that Ramosha disagreed with that, and I understand why. He would say that you don't say kabbalah kachpalto at all by libun. Yes, Salman.
When you say that the Mahara is the contradiction between here and Rav Chaim.
But when I say that, there's what between here?
The contradiction of.
About?
About.
Oh, okay, Terah Balaf, that's the Teretz.
But he obviously, in Rav Chaim, like he passes the same way, right?
I think so.
But I'm like, I'm seeing.
Okay. He paskins that the Machvas for Pesach
so
doesn't.
The reason from the reason.
What? Well, we're discussing the reason for it. Yeah. I just don't understand saying Heterabala because he doesn't hold Heterabala by Chametz. He holds Chametz is not Heterabala. I don't know. Okay. Machvas, I'm sorry. Im Higil Kli at Sarach Libun, Osir Lishtamish Bo, Becham and Afilish Loye Dea Eish. Because it's going to be, it will continue to, you know, be polite, ma'at ma'at, into the food you're cooking, because the Haggadah does not get all of it out. So you're allowed to use in this pot that you were ma'agah, you're supposed to be labein. You're allowed to use tzonin in it, even lachatchila. I'm sorry, you can use any kli that requires something, and certainly this kli, this is where he's stating it, on something which you did hagal and something required libun, you can use bitzonin, even lachatchila, if you just wash it off well. And certainly a kli which requires hagala alone, certainly you can do this with. V'dafka b'derach arai, that's the Mordechai. Incidentally, the first part, the fact that if they cooked in it already, or if it's a base of Shogai, you can rely upon, you can use Tzonein, so that's the basis of where you go a lot of places where the kelim are treif, but you can use them for cold stuff. You can go to a restaurant, even if they were serving in something that was ceramic, you could, you know, drink cold liquid in it because it's only tzonein, because it's derech harai. Yes?
What about, let's say, I'm drinking sake. Sake is usually warm, but I don't think it's boiling, is it?
No.
So that's not Yatzoladis, that's called Tzonin.
That's
Tzonin. That is Tzonin, yes. Tzonin doesn't mean it has to be cold, it just means it's not Chamin. Okay. What's that?
Ah,
so that would, I don't know again how that worked, but again, No, no, no. But oh, you. One second. But if you want, you mean if someone pours hot tea into it, so that's an issue. If it were glass, it wouldn't be a problem. But if it's pottery, if it's a mug, which is pottery, then it is an issue.
This is.
Even though we said that Urim Klibishon doesn't throw things out, we said that by the dishes when we wash the sink.
No. Chas v'shalom. Iwri can be maflit kidei klipa from what's there. And if that there is tarfus, then it's in your coffee or whatever the hot, what's in your hot water. The issue is that if what's in the sink is another dish, once the hot water comes out off the sink, then it can't be mafliya into it. But in other words, I would say the following. If you did fleishik and milchik dishes together in the sink with the be'en, the water is treif. You can't drink it, but it won't make the pot treif, because any treif water, by definition, is no longer, once it became treif, it's not a kli rishon anymore. It's only a kli shen. Okay. And then the Ramah continues. But as we'll see, we don't apply the klei cheres because that's a b'di'evet. So again, I mentioned in the past, I don't fully understand this because, again, unless they ate off their tables, unless they readily put food down on the table, ate that way, which is definitely possible, then I don't see why this would be a concern. Because you don't put the food on the table in the first place. And if the food should happen to fall on the table, it'll be an einam b'nyama. What's the big deal? What are you worried about? That your raw onion falls onto the table? Well, your raw onion is not going to be b'leah from the table because your raw onion is going to be cold. And it's hard to have, maybe not impossible, it's pretty hard to have a hot raw onion. Mm. Right? Once you heat it up. Okay.
Well, I guess that's why it's a minhag.
Yeah. Okay. Then, bedafud lechatchila b'devenin lachash lechozer u'kol cheresh shenishtamshu bo betzonei me'achar di'efsher b'hagala mikrei di'eved v'sagilei b'mriko shtifa heitev mutar litam bo achar kach afil dvarim charifim kechometz v'chayotzei bo v'kol shekein dvarim kashim ketalim v'chayotzei bohem. Okay. Sifat. Klei matchus. Afa pi sheish omrim shem nishtamish bo isu b'miktsas or nesar kulo. Mishun d'cham miktsas or cham kulo. It's Rabbeinu Peretz. Aval inin hachshere lo ala lo hachshar chi yachshar kulo ba la inin hagala bein la inin hagala bein la inin libon. And the Rama says, now, the Mechaber al pi pash just is quoting the Shita of the Rashba. The Shita of the Rashba that the Hechsher has to be done on the entire Kli. It's not enough to do it on part of the Kli. And therefore, and it's not because you don't know how much you cooked them, but it's because it's Mefapea. The Taz here quotes very simply and nicely, I think, explains in the Kudas HaMachlokas has to do with a sugya that we didn't look at, but we referenced briefly, probably during the Beis Yosef, in Zvachim. And the Gemara suggests they say that even a kli shabisha bo miktsaso by kachim by requires the entire thing requires marikin shtifa. Afilu bisha bo miktsas kli. So the question is why? The answer is b'choshe shem mifapeh. Well, let me take that back. The question reading the Gemara is, why is that so? Is that a din exeris hakasav in kachim, or is there a reason like shem mifapeh? So that's a question of machlokes rishonim, how to read the Gemara. Is the Gemara claiming that the piyapua is a chashash and therefore would apply to all other things, or is it dafka mitzvah by kachim and not by chulin? If it's the latter, so then you only have to be masher the part of the pot that the food came in contact with. So that's the machlokes, I think, the Rashba and the Ra'al. The Mechaber seems to be passing that drashba, but the Ramah comes along and says, "V'dafkin neshtamish shibakulav v'miyadua shalon neshtamish shapitzaso kibolo kachpoto." It's almost as if he wants to read the Mechaber saying the reason why you have to kashi the entire pot is because why? Maybe you use the entire pot. You never know how much you used, and therefore, if it's yadua how much you used, so then the Ramah says you don't require hechsher on that part of the pot. So the problem is that that wasn't the Mechaber Shita. The Mechaber Shita seems to be like that of the Rashba. So here is where the Shach comments in Sifkatan Yud Zayin, in the Sifkatan Tazayin, excuse me. He says that even though the Mechaber's din is based upon that of the Rashba, when you read the Mechaber standing alone, you can't tell for sure what he holds. And therefore, the Ramah doesn't say it as V'yesh Omrim, but the Ramah just qualifies it as if he's agreeing with the Mechaber, even though it's very possible the Mechaber is arguing, as long as the language of the Mechaber allows for the possibility of two interpretations. And the Shach just comments, V'chein darko bat the Ramah b'kama mekomos. The Ramah frequently does that, where he won't quote himself, cite himself, or quote others arguing the Mechaber, unless it's clear from the Mechaber's formulation that in fact he's adopted a position that's not reconcilable. But the way the Mechaber formulates it here, it's possible that he would agree that the only reason why you have to do hechsher on the entire kli is because you're not sure whether you use the entire kli, you use only part of the kli. So if you know if it's your dua shalom shtama shrap mitzaso, then you say kabbalo kach polta. Okay, so that is what so there are a few pieces in this long shach. One is that. And he wants to explain that perhaps
with chata though, isn't it heterbal?
What's that?
With the chata, isn't it heterbal?
Yeah,
we say we're chotis fabrikulam.
What?
And yet we're chotis
fabrikulam. No, maybe it's just exeris akasa by kachim. That cleaver lamixas cle. Okay. So, I mentioned to you also the Shach goes out of his way to point out that the Ramah here is assuming that you say, he's quoting Vitur, who says that if you know that you only use part of the cle, then you don't have to do Hechsher on the entire cle. The problem is that the Rush, his father, seems to say like the Rashba. So the answer that the Shach provides, based upon the Ra'ah's comments, in the Torah, in the Bedek Abayis, is that that the Machlokes, that the Rush, there's a difference between Hagala and Libun. Libun, you don't say Kabbalah Kach Poltam. If you want to be Malam in a Kli after, if assuming that there was Blios, well, Hoshish the Blios Mefapea, the torch is not going to get it out. It's only going to get out in the place where you burn directly. Whereas Hagalah has the power of being Moshech. The function that the Ra'ah says of Libun is being Sofa b'mkomo, being Mechaleu b'mkomo. It's to destroy it where it is. So Libun only destroys that which it comes in contact with, whereas Hagalah is Kibbalah Kach Polto. If by doing Hagalah on the if you cooked in the lower half of the Kli and yet the Isser was Mefapea up, then by doing Hagalah on the lower part of the Kli, it will draw the Isser down.
What's the mechanism of getting blios into a pot that you're doing good sleep?
What's that?
If I pay things into things, but it can't draw them out. Fire.
Yeah.
Force Tom into things.
Well, you heat the, you put the clay on the clay when it's really hot. Yeah, so that it just naturally gets absorbed.
But it can't, so just heating it would.
No, the problem is the part that you heat. The part that you heat is certainly mashir, but the problem is that the blias travel.
No, I understand. I'm just trying to understand the way that they understand how
the physics.
How the tam gets in.
Again, the piapua. Once the tam gets in, it's mefapea, potentially throughout the pot. But when you do leave it to burn it out, it's not moshech. It has to burn up in combo. So if it's gone too far afield, it won't work.
No, I was just thinking the people who say that you can use heat in order to master things like the hottest that you've cooked with it, maybe that's because gets the things go in, don't enter, or they're not mifapea as much when you use it's able to get to however far it needs to go. In other words, the piapua is dependent on the amount of heat that was used to be mefateya.
What you're saying is that, I said this, but I think you're saying the thing I said before, which is that in a hanami, it may be that the heat is not, it doesn't draw out that which was absorbed even by the same heat if it's mefapea, but if you do it to the entire surface of the clay, wherever it is, that amount of heat is sufficient to get out that which was nifla and that which was mefapea through that heat.
Because it wouldn't go further then.
I don't know if it's about going further, but...
Well, if it's mefapea...
Then it may go throughout the entire pot.
So why would the amount of heat... Why would then less heat burn... Why would the amount of... Once it gets in, if it's hot enough to be bolea, then...
No, maybe not. Okay, it's hard for me. I can only speculate on that. Nuri?
So if it's, I'm just trying to get this. If it was a terabala, though, on...
Then you never require more than hagala.
But you would have to be magal the whole kli. There couldn't be mikzas. No,
according to the Shach wants to say that following according to the Ramah, if you knew which part of the clay came in contact with, you could do Hagalah. It's Libun that's different.
I'm saying, let's say it was Hatirabala through Libun, though.
But you never require.
It was like a Tzli, sorry.
What's that?
It was a Tzli, but it was Hatirabala.
So then you never require more than Hagalah. You mean how much do you have to do on
there? You have to be Magal
the whole clay then. The Stamim Magal the whole clay, yeah. We're Magal, yeah. Yep. Okay. Okay. The Shach writes in Sifkat and Yilchas that Lachatchila should be ma'agal the entire clay. The Rambam is only talking about Bidiyavet. Okay. Fine. Sak in Yashan Bein Gadol Bein Katan. Anikach me Obeid Kochavim im Balishtamesh Bitzonein im Eim Bagumos Noatz Asar Parmen Bakarka Kasha. Okay, so you want to use the knife so you clean it off really well. Vitzara Shakolni Itzen Itzatia Bakarka Kasha. Lafikach Leinatz Malkum Shinoatz Nitza Acheres. That's pretty pashut. Vaafilu Lachtoch Bodavar Harif Kimotzner on Sagi Bahachi. Even if you want to cut a davar charef, it's a mutter. And again, as I said, I have no idea why that's so and why nobody comments. The shach in your test tells you to look in Sadi Bav. And Sadi Bav says that a sakin eino ben yoma mekunach, according to some, I might say, a sakin mekunach used to chop onions makes the onions fleshik. And therefore, the sakin mekunach here, you know it's a sam parim makaka, should also work, it should also make the onion treif. Unless you argue that someone eats a bakarka is better, but you only get off what's on the surface of the knife. Well, I don't know.
Isn't it kind of like cutting? It's like whatever tom is in the knife should come out with the dafsa sakina.
Correct. And by davar charef, it should asser it. It should make it.
But already all came out into the. Maybe it's like the.
Same
already kind of left out.
No. We don't assume that way.
Because davar charef won't.
Josh,
the tom will come out, and then it will be l'shvach.
No, I understand, but when you stick it in the karka, first of all, you don't know that all of it came out. It might. It also, if you stick it in the karka, it's only one part of the knife that theory is experiencing duchuk the sakina. And most of the knife, in fact, most of the surface you cut with, if you cut this way on the knife, when you stick it in, most of it's not having duchuk the sakina. The top of the knife sort of... clears the way, but once it's cleared the way, unless the knife is like continuous, and certainly the sides of the knife, unless it's continuously growing in both directions, and knives might grow this way, but so I don't think that duchuk the sakina be shaped, but as soon as they may go out, even if it's not perfectly straight, you know, the thing of the knife. Alon?
How would anyone do nitzah?
Because they want to cut something with the knife, and they don't have towels or paper towels or anything else to rub or rinse the knife off of. So here's my convenient, handy dandy lawn. What? Because I don't happen to have water around, and I don't have a stove around. Right? I'm on a hike, you know, in Harriman State Park, and all of a sudden, you know, I need to cut my food, and I see a guy with a knife. I say, can I borrow your knife? And then you're prompt to go, and he thinks you're very strange.
Yeah, well, he's sort of,
and he takes the knife out of the ground, grabs it from you, and stabs you to death. But yeah, but the point is that if you're in a situation where you don't have hot water available to you or fire, so that's what you want to do. That's it. You want to use the kotzone, and it's very convenient. You go into your backyard, not into the soft spots. You find a nice hard patch of dirt, and you stick it in 10 times. Right? Today, we would use, you take out your steel wool or your very good sponge. Take some soap, and you clean it off. Okay. The chorah, if you, you know, took one of the most sponges today, could, you know, with soap, could do an equally good job as nitzah b'karak. Although you have, sometimes you have to soak the knife. But I'm told, from many incidences of misdoing it, that you're not supposed to leave knives like that soaking in water. It dulls the blade. I find that hard to.
Dulls the feel of the ground.
What? Ye of little faith, Chazal's knives were sharp knives, and they cut anyone who mocks them. Okay. Anyway. Thank you, y'all. Okay. So anyway, so the Shulchan Aruch says you can cut a darbe charf, and I don't understand that at all. I mentioned last week the Pesach Tshuva quotes the Sefer Bechor Sharon is Kedushin Tchulin, who says that Tosfos Cholek Alza and assumes that it's only mutter to cut lemons, not which are not really sharp. Not that it would be mutter to cut snow. The story is again is Shmuelka. Okay. V'yesh bagumos o shenrotze lachta pochamin o lishchod ba melabna o mashchiza b'mashchesa shana pochem heiti rapanei kula. So the Mechaber seems to paskin that sharpening the knife serves as hechsher even for heat, which I thought was something does not sit right with me. Just it's the sheet of the Rambam, he's assuming the Rambam is going to disagree. But I don't understand. You have to be mashchis kula. When you take a knife and you sharpen it, you normally only sharpen the blade side. Right? You don't take the side of the knife and do it. You're not sharpening anything. All you're doing is creating abrasions. So I never really understood. And if your concern is that the entire knife is balua, so why should it be okay? Why should all sharpening does is removal, you know, if it's a stone. I'd like to thank Caleb for bringing to my attention a fact that maybe I should have been aware of, but that I wasn't aware of, that when you use a sharpening stone, it does, this I knew, it removes a layer outside of the knife. But apparently, unless Alan wants to disagree with you, when you take one of those metal things and the way they sharpen them, you at an angle, you slide and you back and forth exactly. My wife does this like often Erev Shabbos to sharpen the knife. So apparently that does not strip away
is
part of
something off.
No.
I don't
know. Caleb, explain.
There are ones that do and there are ones that don't. They're not abrasive, they're just reinforcing, they're rehoning the blade. They're not removing anything.
It's taking the metal which might have gotten a little bent, in other words, dulled and bent, because that's what's happening when you cut stuff. That's what he says. I'm not in a position to be cholek. I didn't check Wikipedia or my other sources of truth.
Do we want to maybe say that just like you said with the Neitzah, that the Neitzah is only pushing, you know, it's only doing something when you, at the very beginning of the knife, because it's the rest of
unless the knife spreads out.
So that part, the blade part of the knife is just pushing everything else away, so nothing's really going into the rest of the knife, and that's why maybe sharpening is fine.
No, but the point is that when you stick it into the karka, said everything on that knife is basically up against ground at one point or another, and the ground strips away the shuman. It's not cutting into, they may not be duchak the sakina, but it's just rubbing it off. Right? It's no different than putting in a cloth, you know, or a sponge and going like that. If you're very careful, it's very, you know, highly effective in removing it. So in that sense, there's no duchak the sakina, but you are scrubbing that off well. All I said is that in the ground, the duchak the sakina is limited to the, when you have a plane that cuts through air, whatever the surface that hits the air first. So that's that part, that equivalent of a knife is the only part that might have duchak the sakina. Okay, so anyway, so the Mechaber quotes what is essentially the sheet of the Beis Yosef. Yeshomim, tashchaz al mahani rach lach pochotzonin, avolol inyan chamin. Not like the Rambam. V'hachi nahog lachatchila, v'lo yuchal lachatchila, but it doesn't aser b'dievet apparently. Okay. V'imlo yuchal lalabin hasakin, Heite Mishumakaka Yilabno Viyagilenu Acharkach. That's the quotes of Samantha Arach, that's the Gemara. Umihu. Now that's, by the way, presents one of the problems with the theory that Libun doesn't work. In other words, that if you have a metal thing, that even though it's bolea throughout the entire thing, you have to, even though you only use part of it where it was bolea, you have to be malabin the entire thing, because it means you can't do that on a knife. Right? Because if you assume that the boleas travel through all the way through the metal knife into the handle, yet when you can't do libin on the handle, that's clear, because if you do libin on the handle, what do you get? Charcoal. Okay? You're now left with a metal blade with a crumbling charcoal handle. So then, how does Rav Ashi's Eitza that you cover it with tina and then you malabi the blade and then you go into hagala on the entire thing on the handle? That hagala shouldn't work for the metal part that's inside the handle.
What if you do libun on the, maybe the tina also protects that, and you do libun on that too?
You're not going to do libun on the tina. You do libun on the tina, and it will. That stuff is probably going to get burnt away.
But without burning away. Sorry.
Yeah, but besides, you can't do libun directly on the clay that's that's on the outside of the handle. Then you're not doing libun on the handle.
But the heat travels through. It's just
not. Not for libun. What? Through what? Through the clay?
Yeah. Heat.
No, it's not hot enough.
No.
You got to get direct contact. There's got to be some cooling in between. Okay. Umihu. Im libno velo higilo, afilu yesh bo gumos, o himigilo velo libno ve im bo gumos, ve chatach bo ma'ach hocham, lo neser afilu asachem en yomo. Why should that be? The shachach is in the comment on here. In other words, if you do libun on the knife, which means you're doing on the knife part, the part that comes in contact, which you know nothing more came in contact, that's the way the Ramah Paskin earlier in Se'if Vav, or if you do hagala and you don't do libum, but there are no gumos in the knife, and you cut something hot, so the thing is not usur, even if the sakin is a ben yomo. V'mishchiza b'mashchaz is heite b'chol makom v'gilo achar kach mahani afil l'chatchila k'mo libum emyuchal l'nakos hagumos shebo. Okay. Fine. We usually just kash our knives in hot water, unless it's a knife that requires libum. But we don't have too many, unless you get a treif knife, it's normally not going to require libun. Why? Heter bala. So you're never going to require libun there, right? In your kitchen, when you want to run a kosher things from milk's to par or fleshik's to par, so you're never going to need libun unless you can't clean it properly, unless the knife has gumos. No, Pesach, you need to do those things that require libun. Those things that are Yevo Beish. By Pesach, we paskin, the Mechaber paskins, that you require libun.
What would be libun kal, as well as libun kasha? Or pamorni?
What would it be?
Yeah.
How hot? I don't remember. What does the Mordechai say? I don't remember. I have to look at the Darkei Moshe.
But it wouldn't have to be like wet olive, like putting a piece of paper in a burner. Or
no, that would be libun chomer. Okay.
So
you
don't know, like the way you do it is... you see a shimmer. Like when you like you have a blowtorch, you do it, and then you'll see like a. It looks like water evaporating, even though there's no water. That's the.
What do they call that, libun kal?
Yeah.
Okay, that what does kashrus organization say? They have to come up with something threshold. So that sounds
like,
it's
instantaneous pretty much as soon as you run the heat.
Got it. Okay. All right. Any questions about Siman Kuf Chav Aleph? The way things are going, I think we actually probably will get to Siman. I don't know if you'll get through all of it. I will supplement some of the questions, but we might actually get through Tafnun Aleph. And I don't know if we'll get not through all of it. Maybe I will try tomorrow or tonight to make some selections, the stuff that you can do. A lot of it will be familiar to you, and some of it is new. All right, let's take a little bit of Kuf Chav Beis right now. We're not going to finish it right now, but Kedei Rishena Basyom and the Shach says most of this is review at the beginning. Okay, there you go. That's an important basic principle there. It's machlokas tanoim, maybe a machlokas hamoran was, I'm not sure. And we pass gam makula, no se talmuf gam is mutter. And it's mutter lechatchila. It's just that you're not allowed to cook in a pot, as the machaber says, sip base. Kederish in a basioma, the Hainu Shashasa, Mesla, Ismin, Shasbashla, Bot Yisur, Havia, no se talmuf gam. Even though no se talmuf gam normally is mutter, Asru chachamim lasho balachatchila gezera atu bas yama bein shablu ame yisur uba lavasho baheter bein shablu ame chalav ba lavasho ba basar o ibcha. Doesn't really matter. It's considered asru to cook in even if it's not a ben yom anymore. Yesh omrim hada chashiv peguma kishena bas yama dafka shikdera hidicha yafa. Hidicha yafa v'sarmi mana kosham nunis isur hadavak ba avalam lo hidicha yafa she isur ve'ein inu nifgam v'shihias me'es la'es. And that is the Mechaber presents it. It's a very funny way of presenting it, right? He presents only one daya and he says yesh omer. We spoke about this. There were a number of times earlier this year. I think he had this. We haven't seen it in a while. He's aware that those who disagree with this, but he doesn't even quote the Rambam. The Rambam, who sounds like the Rambam, the Ravid, may hold that even the Be'en is pogam after 24 hours. The truth be told, if you asked me, if I were talking, comparing the blios in the pot and the little film that might be left on a pot, if one of them was going to be nosing talm of gam after 24 hours more likely than the other, it would be the film that was left on the pot that's been sitting there and decomposing, rotting, you know, whatever term you want to use for it, becoming rancid. It would have been faster pogame. You know, when you have a whole strawberry sitting in a pot, so for 24 hours, that's not going to be pogum. But if you just have a little film from the strawberry on there, that is more likely to be pogum. I may be some that's like more surface area for the bacteria to do their work and so on. So I don't know. But what the Rambam says is actually in some ways very mistaber. It's almost a kava homer from the blias. But heavily processed food that leaves a residue is different. Right, if it's got preservatives in it, so that may not be pogum when it's be'en. I mean, there probably is no an arachain in blios. But sort of the kinds of foods they would have eaten, so you got to think, you know, fruits, vegetables, meat, and stuff like that, you know, not stuff heavily preserved. So that's the kind of stuff that would be pogum if it were a little film left be'en. All right. So the Rama says that once it's no Saint Hafkam Mikdera, there's no issue there, so you don't need to be mevatel that. Yesh omim de bedvarim charifim lo arina de no Saint Hafkam Kosh nesbar la elsim and tzadhev and tzadhevav. That was a sefer truma who applied it more broadly. In other words, the Gemara only said it where? It's only explicit in the Gemara. There's only one thing in the Gemara that I think that's explicit. If it's after 24 hours, it's mechal yaleh and makes it shvach. What is that? Koret shel chiltas. That's the only thing. Snown depends upon which lashon and rashi you adopt. In other words, the other dvarim charifim. Which day did we do it, say it alone? What day are we doing? Wednesday. What time did we say Wednesday?
You didn't say.
I didn't say. So Wednesday at... I have to get the bread, right? What's the deal?
Bread.
What?
We need
bread. I'll have 22 dead students here if I don't have bread.
What's happening in Wednesday, Peter?
Taste it. Davar Charef. We will find out the courage of the men in this room. Okay. Or stupidity. Those are opposite sides at the same point. So anyway, Wednesday, after, I have to give a very brief 5-minute chabur in the base matter for Kinyan Torah. They've been doing during the Omer, and this, I'm told it's given on the back of the second floor of Gluck, and then I have to go give Daniel Shear, so I would say around, then I have to eat, so I'd say around 12:50. Maybe we'll say like 12:50, 12:55 or something. Right, yeah, I would say, what's that?
You're going to eat other things besides the...
It's not going to be that much to eat for the Davar Har. There'll be samplings of lots of different things. You get a little slice of onion, a little thing of garlic. Okay, so it'll be actually the beginning of Shear. The beginning of Shear. We should have enough time given that we've, you know, almost finished and we'll do what we'll do on Wednesday and tomorrow of Tafnun Aleph, but so fine, we can do that Wednesday sort of first thing. 12:55, 1 o'clock or something, we'll start. So I got to remember to get bread. Okay.
I can get bread.
Okay, you can get bread. Okay. Fine. Okay, so the Ramah says, if it were a davar charif, so those who are machmer, and that's the way we hold. But he says, he gives the example, tavshu shirubo chometz o tavlin o shar dvarim charif and asar avalo mechashev mil mechshev a tavshu charif bishumah tavlin shabo v'chein nogin v'ayin le'el simin tzadeh tzadeh v'ayin le'el simin 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 tzade Very important. So this, you don't get confused over this. If you have a treif isur davar charef, achar kach shak der smei sleis, ubishla boheta shein acharef mutu, deina charef isarisha mishave l'ishvach. What it means is that when a davar charef absorbs blios that are pagum, it renders them edible. Whereas, if you took a davar charef that was also, let's say you had, an ovid avodah zarah bound down to an onion. Okay, he held that the onion was the best satire in the world, so he decided to make the onion his god, and he takes an onion, he's mishtachav it to the onion. So the onion's aser bana. Now somebody cooks the onion in the pot, and then the pot is now in a binyomo. We don't assume that the food that absorbs the onion, we assume it'll be a davar. It will be soon nosin tam lufgam, and the food in theory should be mutter, although you might have to be molach the hanos hakedere liyam amelach, like you would buy basar b'chol, but we don't paskin that way, so it's in the Ramah doesn't paskin that way, so it's not a problem. Okay, fine.
But I don't understand the
jury. What?
Could you repeat? Like, I don't understand. The difference is, like, whether the onion's bolay or something as opposed to the onion.
If the davar charef is absorbed into the pot, because you cooked the davar charef, and now the pot's in a benyomo, with that davar charef in yomo, and you cook regular food in it, we don't say that it makes the food the shvach, that the blios are the shvach.
Oh, that's great.
Right, so it's very important to remember the flip side of the opposite notes. If you take onions and you cook them in a fleshic pot and they go in raw, so they're charef, the onions are fleshic. Same if you chop them with a knife, even a fleshic knife, cold. But if you have the inverse, if you cook meat in a pot in which onions which were treif had been chopped, or you cook any food in a pot which had absorbed onions hot, and the onions were actually gufam iser, so then you wouldn't require any... and there would be no problems if it's after 24 hours. Yes, Dave.
What if you're like having like a frying pan, like you fry like onions and you like take it out and like fry some like schnitzel, so that it gives taste. Basically. Onions are trying to give taste, basically.
What?
The onions would give taste. You like frying the onions and then like take them out and then put like schnitzel or something.
Well, either way, it's not pogum.
Right, that's the end.
There's no onions there. Right?
But there's stuff from the onions there.
No, even if there's not.
Otherwise, they wouldn't transmit flavor. But yes, but it's stuff absorbed in the pot after 24 hours.
Okay.
That we're talking about. Okay. Fine. What did the Shach say here? Right. More along the same lines. Okay. Fine. And then Akadera Habalua mi Basar Bachala in Kodem Shavar Laila Echad Chimu Mobamaim Khashiv Ilu Khazam Nispasha Ba Isr Monome Isla Ismi Shasha Hukumamaim Mash Enke Mishaisu. And this was the Sefer Hatruma. Right? But the Mechaber disagreed. Why does he quote it here? V'ayin el simen kuf gimel. Oh, he means basar v'chala. Right. This is Mechaber l'shitaso. And the Ramah says, v'ayin el, the Ramah holds it whole, it's true, by shari sum as well. And we already discussed the Shach both in kuf gimel and in Sadi Dalet Chaf Beis, where the Shach says the Mechaber is wrong. He says that even if you don't hold Chaticha Nasis Nevela, which is the way in Mechaber and the Tur Paskin, you still hold this din of the Sefer HaTrumah, because it's not because Chaticha Nasis Nevela on the Mayim, but rather because it's not Barnati Surah. Whereas, on the flip side, the Mechaber is wrong on the Basa B'Challah part, because if you believe that the Sefer HaTrumah is wrong, if you don't say Chanan generally, then Basa B'Challah, once it's Basa B'Challah, is like Shari Surim. There's no issue of Chanan anymore on the water, because that it's not heter plus heter equals iser. It's iser into the heter, and so that's not an issue of chaticha nasis nevela. And here, the mechaber continues. Maybe we'll read this is the last thing. Iser mort shenivla b'kli shadarkish shalosh tamish bo b'heter mort b'chtei shitein zavetam b'heter שישתמשו בו כמו כדר גדולה וחובס חיוצה בהן, הרי זה מותר להשתמש בו לכתחילה אף על פי שבן יום, לפי שיש שלא בו לידי סינסתם, אבל הוא כלי שמשתמשו במדבר מורת כמו קרב יחוצה באוסל להשתמש בו שאין מבט לניסו לכתחילה, אפילו איסר מורת ואפילו איסר הבלוע, and the long pause here disagrees with that and thinks that the Rashba is not correct and the Mechaber is wrong, and therefore you shouldn't pask in this way. The Shach never, I don't know whether, the Shach must have written something in his Sefer, Sifri, because in Kuf Gimel, in Sadi Tess, where this was, the Shach said, you know, go look in Kuf Chapez, and Kuf Chapez, the Shach writes here, V'ra'ova turi sigo azeh v'kach pasav abachayin shab. He just sort of leaves it at that. So he never, didn't, I mean, that's not much to say here. So that's the way, so the Achronim here disagree with the Mechaber. Okay. We will stop here for now, and then tomorrow, assume Shir will be at regular time. We will finish up Simon Kuf Chaf Beis, and then I will. And you should look at least the tour. Start with the tour in Kufnun Alf and Kufnun Beis to familiarize yourself. And if there are certain parts that I want to single out, I'll try to get them.